Radio Citrus, take one.
Whoa, listen to Radio Citrus all the time. Listen to Radio Citrus. When he's calling for you, Radio Citrus.
Won't you listen to
Radio Citrus? Radio Citrus. Okay, so if you're a fancy iPhone 6 Toast Plus something user, it's really easy. Just go to iTunes, hit the search box, put in Radio Citrus, hit subscribe, and booyah, you don't have to put up with our Facebook page, which you can also follow too if you want. Now, if you're like the rest of us and you're a proletariat using Android,
say what?
You can use whatever app you want. The one I personally use on my phone, and they're not paying me for this or anything, is Podcast Addict. It's nice. I can download it before I leave. And now, if you're a Windows Phone user, you're totally hosed.
There's the door.
Hey, Radio Citrus.
Now, broadcasting from a transmitter the size of a toaster.
Neil Corbett.
From the top of the San Gabriel Mountains to the Rockies to the Appalachians.
Well, if it's personal, then it's already for yourself.
This is Q95.9 FM.
Good to hear. Good to hear.
You know, it really irritates me.
You're diluting your brand. Really, there are many levers in the digital world that you can pull in order to get audiences in.
Clickbait headline. Newsfeed, Twitter, news sites. What they're doing is exploiting a part of the human psyche.
What happened next changed everything.
Sneaky Beagle heats up chicken nuggets while owners away.
It's called clickbait. You tease a story, people click on the link, and we get paid by the click. It makes money for the show.
Anything can be news if you can tell a story about it.
The thing that you do makes me believe it's you.
I thought clickbait was something brand new, but apparently it's been around for like half a century. It's Radio Citrus on Q959 FM, joined again by Toby and Cleaver. How's it going, guys?
What's up? Going good. You know, I'm actually watching a video right now of a guy wakeboarding behind... I have no way to describe this. He has a net, and he's catching fish as they're flying out of the water, and he's putting them into a basketball hoop that's being pulled by like an inner tube. He's like fishing basketball with fish. This is one of the greatest things I've ever seen in my life. So it's all different.
Did it have a headline, though, like, you won't believe how this guy fishes?
Actually, it's, this man is my power animal. I guess it's not that clickbaity, but it is clickbaity in the sense that it's like, oh, non-specific. Whatever could it be?
There's a twist built into the title.
So whatever happened to just telling it like it is? Like, hey... Coming up, we're going to tell you how blah, 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 blah.
I think part of it is that we, the internet sort of gave it away that the world is kind of boring. And so instead of being like, man, wakeboards behind a boat, catching fish with a net and putting it into, which even if that was a headline, I'd be like, well, okay, I'm on board. But like, why do we need to add unnecessary mystery?
There's a philosophy out there. I don't know if it's true. I mean, apparently it must work because BuzzFeed made an entire empire on it. But they have what's called the closing the loop. Your brain, we're so accustomed to certain sentences and certain phrases end a certain way that when it doesn't end that way, we're like, wait, what? What?
Must end, must complete the circle. Yeah.
And so the example, the guy on the, and I wish I could find it, I'd pull it up, play it for you, but at the YouTube channel the guy was talking about, he said, if he walked, and he did it on the video, he's like, the crazy thing about dinosaurs is,
it's like, what is
it? And then he just walked away, and we're like, what?
Dinosaurs.
What? What? Whereas then he came back and he said, the crazy thing about dinosaurs is, they're reptiles, not mammals.
Oh!
You know, and so
you caught me there, and my advertising click.
Yeah, you know, so if at the end of the day, just getting the page view for the Google AdSense is what counts, but yeah, BuzzFeed built an entire empire off of. I mean, get this: 24 dogs who are seriously judging you. Okay,
and that's it.
That's it.
Right? Just pictures of dogs throughout the whole article.
Should I click on it? I've got this desire to click on it because I don't want to be judged by a dog.
17 emoticons you've probably never used. Oh, yeah, that's real.
Well, you're like, of course. It says never.
Yeah, probably. Probably never.
How well do you really know Disney lyrics?
Oh, so they're not only that, they're challenging someone's understanding.
Ooh. I'm looking at this dog's one.
How judgmental are they?
It's just a bunch of pictures of dogs like you'd see on Reddit, r/aw. It's just a bunch of cute dogs and babies with dogs. Like one of them here is like, get this tiny human away from me. And then the dog's looking at the camera.
And guess your age based on the year you were born.
What? is that legit?
I saw a screenshot. I didn't actually give them the click to see if that actually is a real one, but wouldn't. It's gotten to the point where I'm not surprised anymore, you know?
Is it weird that, like, you said that, I'm like, that has to be an Onion article. And then I thought, wait, that might actually be real.
BuzzFeed's hitting a new low.
New weird.
What's... And quizzes. Why am I a sucker for every stupid quiz that has to come across? And I'm like, do I have to prove that I know Disney lyrics?
So here's the thing. You want to know something cool about those quizzes? So you remember the early days of Facebook, you know, 2007, 2008, when they had all those...
apps?
Those like apps that would be like, which Harry Potter house are you? And you'd be like, I'm Raven Snake House. Based on like...
Oh, the good old Raven Snake House.
So did you know the people who make those quizzes originally made those just to get information and sell it on you?
Yeah, that makes sense. I mean, because that's what bothered me is you would have to add the app just to take the quiz, and I knew something was
shady.
Something
sketchy.
Hey, I have a friend, though. His entire courtship was centered around that. He and his wife-to-be, they just sat there doing quizzes all through 2007, 2008. Just, oh, I'm a Hufflepuff, you know.
It's a real romantic motion there.
Hey, they're still married. Got three kids, big house.
They're married and we aren't. So.
I know.
They're still on Facebook playing quizzes. So
Farm Quizville. What a Farm Quizville. That's the worst thing that could ever happen to Facebook, besides grandma's being on it.
How well do we really know Disney lyrics, though? A blank is a wish your heart makes when you're fast asleep.
A dream?
Fart is a wish you're... Nope, that one's wrong. Flipping your fins, you don't get too far. Legs are required for... I can't answer that. That's not family friendly.
Legs are required for paraplegics. Oh!
Legs are required for not having a handicap placard. Nope, I got that one wrong.
Dang!
Oh, this is the night. It's a beautiful night, and we call it... Quasimodo. No, I got that one wrong. I can open your eyes, take you wander by wander, over blank way and under on a magic carpet ride. I don't care. Over carpet shampoo.
How many people do you think saw this quiz and they're like, I perfectly know the Disney lyrics, and then they saw some of these questions, and they're like, ah, crap. So, like, before they answer it, they go over to Google, and they Google. Because they're just so insecure about themselves that they just, they're like, I cannot get one of any, it cannot be wrong.
Well, I'm curious. I'm getting to the bottom here. I'm answering them all wrong. ASDF,
they're like, the guy who, you know, when you're like, hey, guys, we're all going to get together. We're going to play some Halo, okay? Okay. This is when you all get together. You remember the old days. You bring all your Xboxes to one place and be like, yeah, let's play Halo. There's that one guy who, like, sucks, but that's fine because only two people actually own the game. The other eight are just like,
hop-ons.
But then that one guy goes home, buys an Xbox, buys Halo, plays it, the whole time in between that Halo Bash and your next like Halo Bash get together, and then shows up and just like, hey guys, look, I'm the best, and everyone's like, yeah, but like we can tell you are really insecure about this. You just made it weird.
By the way, this quiz is stupid. I got to the bottom. It didn't even add it up. I had to check the box. How many did you get right? Fewer than five? 5 to 10? Yeah.
Like, I don't know. You
dumb.
Dumb. I can do that in an XL.
It's dumb. So,
they hired crap writers, not programmers.
It's
like, all right, well, not only will we, give you this crap test, but we'll also make you grade your own test. So,
I'm just looking at Alexa. See, I think BuzzFeed's now ranked 36th in the United States. So, a website that will tell you 19 times the Graham Norton show absolutely killed it. Can you guess the Taylor Swift video by a single screenshot? 12 miserable things that have happened to the Statue of Liberty.
Is that based on the Google?
Who came up with that? Who got up in the morning and thought, I got it. We can do a clickbait about the Statue of Liberty.
I mean, look, you and I both, we've been in meetings where we're just like, all right, deadline is now, we need content. And someone says, how about this? And we go, I want to say no to that, but I don't have anything better, so we're doing it.
This McLobster is tearing Western Canada apart. Okay, I'm done. I'm closing BuzzFeed. But the point...
McLobster? See, now I need to know.
And it has a
picture.
Like, is it literally like...
just Western Canada.
Canada, like, landscape, and they're
like I'm a tiny lobster! Clip, clip, clip.
No, it's a McLobster. It's like a Godzilla lobster, and it's tearing half of Canada apart, apparently.
But, half of it.
But see, we've just spent the last 10 minutes going through headlines of BuzzFeed. And it shows that there's an addictive quality to it. But is this really what we want the internet to turn into? Apparently, yes.
Well, no. But that doesn't stop people from, like, dumbly clicking on all these links, you know. BuzzFeed's pretty guilty. But one that is to me, especially pernicious, I guess, is Upworthy. Because they make you feel good.
Like BuzzFeed for people who want to feel uplifted or something?
I guess, yeah. I mean, that's pretty much it. So, like, it's all inspirational videos and...
See a company that only hires people deemed unemployable. Why young men are killing themselves. This particular one has some ideas why. It's not even a video. It's a bunch of GIFs. Oh, wait. Here's a video. Sun Cedar is giving people a second chance and a reason to keep trying in the job market. Aww, Upworthy!
Making you feel all the warm fuzzies.
She's huffing a car air freshener.
What?
I don't know.
Hi, I'm Shine Adams. Last year, I started a company called Sun Cedar.
Yeah, I get that.
Using scrap wood, we make natural products like this aromatic cedar tree. What makes Sun...
They made a tree? Fun fact, trees can make themselves. We don't need to make them.
Trees are their own 3D printers.
Exactly.
It looks just like those paper air fresheners that are shaped
like a tree. I see.
Which is funny you mentioned that, because the first time I ever heard of one of those, it was in kindergarten. And I was talking to... Oh, back then, I was totally the ladies' man. You know, that was pre-cooties. You know? Oh, yeah. I hung out with, like, 6 girls. It was cool. But anyway, they would... and then we'd have this toy boat. It was a full-size boat they put in the playground, you know? And then I'd play like dad. Like, I'd drive the boat, and then they'd all, like, ride in it, I guess. I thought I was getting the good end of the deal because I got to actually do something. They were... But anyway, I digress. So, talking with one of the girls, and she said, oh, her parents' family car smelled like a banana... because they put this tree in it that made it smell like a banana. And I thought, for the life of me, I for a long time, I pictured them like chopping down this banana tree that was like 5 feet long and strapping it to the bottom of the car down underneath the wheels, you know, and driving around town with this tree in her. So, but anyway, this company makes trees. I guess
Cedar Unique is our employees.
Let's get to the unemployable. Oh, now that's just racist. Saying they hire unemployable person and the first employee they show is black. Boo.
Running Sun Cedar on my own dwindling savings. That's how much I believe in.
Yeah, more babbling. Come on, get to the unemployable people. Oh, I see a tattoo.
That gets their self-esteem built, their self-worth.
Tattoo.
No, it's just an arm tattoo. No face tattoos.
My work's covered in arm tattoos. No biggie.
Yeah, but would they hire someone with a face tattoo, or is that considered?
No, man. They are literally unemployable. Like, more unemployable than these people can employ them for.
like, animals are more employable than some people with face tattoos.
Yeah, employ this horse, turn down that tree, and have it turn it into another tree.
Isn't it weird, though, psychology, though, that if I show up to Taco Bell... That's a bad example. What's something somewhat edible? Chipotle. I don't know if Chipotle would do this or not. I know Taco Bell.
Chipotle's fine. Five-burger. How's that?
And there's the employee has like tattoos like on their neck and face and even like arms near their hands. I have this mentality that like somehow the tattoo will put dirt in my food.
Well, it'll put some Hep C in your burger.
Yeah, but it's just like there's nothing. Yeah. Anyway. So Upworthy is guilty. I'm not going to play any more of this. It's dumb. So Upworthy is the clickbait for people who want to get uplifted. Do they have like a clickbait the other way around for people who want to get depressed? Like that would be awesome. Like down.
It's called Reddit.
that's
do they have surreal. A Downworthy? I'm just going to look and see if that's a no. It's not a thing. But
you could make it a thing. Be like for those of you that just embrace and revel in the crap of life. You have this clickbait website.
Well, no, 4chan. That's what it is. It's 4chan.
Let's see what they've got on here.
Like, I think 4chan is like the most wonderful collection of garbage on the internet.
Sometimes these gold nuggets just come rising to the top.
Exactly.
From the 4chan, do they call them boards?
I guess.
I've never visited here.
I don't go to 4chan, but I've seen a lot that comes out of it, so.
There was a time where I frequented, and then I was like, oh, wait, I don't like hating myself, so I'm out of here.
But, I mean, the top posts on 4chan right now are, yeah, probably. Isn't Goliath from the island that... dot, dot, dot. Phantom Knights never die. Aw, I remember semiconductors. Who clicks on this stuff? See, the difference is with the BuzzFeed stuff, I couldn't restrain myself. I had to click on it, even though I didn't want to. I just felt like, I got to click on this. Upworthy, there's a few things in there that it's like, oh, if I get some time, it would be interesting to know. A CEO who knows how hard it is to be a new dad, so he changed one company policy in a big way. And then it has a picture of him with his arms out standing in front of a Learjet. You know, it's okay. It's not like BuzzFeed. It's like, oh, I need to go in to a court hearing, but all being late, I'll just tell the judge I'm late because I need to click on this survey. Upworthy's more like, well, when I get the time. 4chan, which is Downworthy, I guess. It's more just kind of amusing. It's like a train crash, you know.
I don't know if they're earning ad revenue from people clicking on their pages, though. So.
That's true. I don't see a single ad on 4chan.
Then they're gonna have AdBlock on, so I don't know.
Good point. AdBlock. Good point. I don't.
Let's pause AdBlock.
Okay. So if I turn, I'm using uBlock. No ads. So who cares? But so the question is. It seems like a lot of this stuff, like BuzzFeed, didn't it just kind of show up out of nowhere like as recently as 3 or 4 years ago? You know, I'm not really familiar, but it's just like the whole clickbait mentality. I mean, in fact, here's where it gets really out of control. If I go to one of my local newspapers and I start to go through and look, I go down maybe, I think the first four... No, the first four are actual news stories. Flooding. Number two. Teens named finalist in duct tape scholarship contest. That's not news. Family and boyfriend at odds over fatal auto pedestrian. Okay, that sounds like news. Victim identified in fatal rollover crash. Okay. Five habits of happy moms. What is that doing in the newspaper? I didn't come here for BuzzFeed. I came here for news. Where is it? Muslims hope to draw close to God during Ramadan. Well, that's fine. That's kind of a human interest news story.
But it's an obvious one.
It's like isn't that religious people do religious things on a religious holiday. Wow.
10 crime scene photos you must have. What?
Does it include decapitation?
That's morbid, but I'm actually interested in that.
Yeah. Well,
this is where
4chan, they'll just post it right up there.
Well, this is where I think we start to get into some trouble is it's one thing when it's BuzzFeed or a Facebook quiz or some site that you know it's going to the vending machine. It's the Snickers bar. It's something that tastes good.
And every now and then that's fine.
Yeah. But the problem is our newspapers and sources of actual information seem to be shutting down almost, where it's hard to get really good info. Especially if you live in a medium-sized city where it's, you know, a big city, they have tons of news, you know, New York and Miami. But if you live in a town smaller than Denver, it starts to get, you know, or Boise, Idaho or something, you know, it starts to get where it's kind of like, is there even a place I can get quality news? Because you go to these local news sites, TV and newspaper sites, and it's filled with stuff like what your due date says about your baby's future health risks. And that's a problem, because it just seems to me you can't have a society if there's no news. I don't know. So with that, we'll segue in the next block. We'll talk about something called Gamergate, which I have known nothing about. And apparently Gamergate was a big deal for gamers. Am I right? Am I wrong?
Yep.
Yeah, it's still a thing. I don't want to say it was a thing, because it's still a thing. Last week we talked about how when I found out that a bunch of subreddits had been banned on Reddit, I found out from a subreddit called Kotaku in Action.
Right? Which is also something I don't know about yet either.
Right. And so, oh man, where to start?
We'll talk about it when we come back. We'll come right back here, and we'll talk about what Kotaku in Action and why it matters to you. 12 crazy reasons why you don't know about Kotaku in Action, but you need to. And 6 reasons why Gamergate will affect your child. That's clickbait enough, right? It's Radio Citrus on Q959 FM.
The podcast that Alan Powell would ban.
Put a comment below, but like the video.
Radio Citrus.
Okay.
Okay. Bonjour, enchanté.
Okay. Give that a try.
Okay? You're Bixby Spartans.
Okay! Okay, you ready?
Yeah.
Okay, what's up?
Okay, yeah.
Okay.
Okay, you're good.
Okay, Google.
What?
Do dogs dream?
Yeah! Okay!
Now, Radio Citrus presents a look at the history of clickbait.
Clickbait was first invented in the 19th century when those guys from this movie, they were getting underpaid, so they would create clickbait. They'd walk around the street and say stuff like,
"Ultra mean ass Playboy in trouble again. Playboy Penny at it again. Read about it."
That evolved into the 20th century with stuff. Well, first things first, there was Martin Luther, who totally went viral when he went up to the church door and wrote
95 crazy things about the Catholic Church you won't believe.
It changed when newspapers all got burned up and stuff, and it turned into TV boxes where they'd say stuff like this.
Good evening, I'm Ken Bastida. Dana is off tonight. He was murdered and then set on fire while celebrating his birthday.
You know, basically clickbait, except you couldn't click on it, so you'd have to sit there and watch the commercials and yada, 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 yada. But I was actually going to share with you some real history about a guy. He worked over at the New York Post. And I'm going through my garbage here because I printed out this neat article about him. It was a man named Vinny Musito. I'm not good at pronouncing Italian names. Who coined on the New York Post cover, "Headless body in topless bar." And that was like 50 years ago. So congrats to him. The creator of clickbait.
That was a look at the history of clickbait on Radio Citrus.
Recently, when I became deathly ill, I used this remote control to talk.
Terrorists win. For free information about LifeCall, call 1-800-872-9100. That's 1-800-872-9100.
What the junk?
I hate you.
Stop interrupting.
Radio Citrus.
Media will raise any scourge. I place the victim instead of doing hard work. I am.
This video is called Ellen Pow Sings.
Sounds about right.
Under my thumb. Someone ought to show me to the
which is both racist and hilarious.
She kind of looks like Yoko.
A little bit. Just a bit.
What makes this video so awesome, though, is somebody's done an entire... Hold on. See, it's somebody making a commercial for Vote, VOAT.co, trying to kind of eat the leftovers of the Reddit scandal last week. But they've done this entire claymation sequence. Like, there's this clay character with eyeballs and everything singing it. It's not synced very well, but anyway. Yeah, so the Reddit scandal, if you didn't catch last podcast, was Reddit introduced some kind of heavy-handed censorship of some fairly classless things, but still it went against the long-term culture of Reddit, which brought into question censorship and free expression and all kinds of stuff of the internet. But to really understand the outrage, the fuel that this Reddit thing of last week was just the spark that ignited it, we have to go back, what, about 6 months? How long ago was Gamergate?
Well, Gamergate, I wouldn't say directly ties into the censorship, but they are heavily concerned with it. And it was, at this point, 10 months back.
10 months back. So, set me up. What was going on?
Oh, man. Where to start? So, like, I could tell you about what sparked Gamergate, but what actually... It's been kind of a long time coming. Of course, when games came out, when video games was a new medium back in the 80s and 70s, and as it became more and more popular, a larger niche was being carved out, and that's kind of where video game journalism kind of got a rise as well, right? Because you want to report on this. It's like a lucrative market, and people want to read these articles that are being written by journalists and so on and so forth.
Reminds me of the old PC magazine, like the physical magazine you could buy in the grocery store. Mm-hmm. And I remember they had, like, when the 3DFX stuff came out, you know, Banshee and Voodoo 2.
Voodoo.
You know, they had a photo of this 3D, like, Mario Kart-looking character on PC. It's like, wow, actual screenshot, you know.
You're like, oh, 9 polygons, what will I do?
It's so hardcore.
I remember walking into a Fred Meyer store. Kroger, fancy Kroger, basically. When did the N64 come out? Like 1996, 97, somewhere around there?
Seems about right.
Yeah, probably.
And it was Mario, but it was the 3D world, and it just blew my mind because it was the first time other than maybe Doom, but Doom looked kind of crappy, where you actually had this decent-looking 3D world where I was going, all right, like that's pretty cool, you know? But obviously, we've come a long way since then. And sounds like journalism for gaming has become a big business as well.
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, look at gaming itself for a moment. Like, global, let's see here. But according to a collection of studies by the Entertainment Software Association, in 2013, American consumers, this is just the United States, spent $21.53 billion on video game software, okay, hardware, and accessories.
Okay, so I want you to. So you have that number? Okay, now. I want you to look up real fast.
Okay.
Look up how much we spent on porn.
I don't know if I want to look that up.
No, seriously. Seriously.
Global or U.S.?
I compare it. GDP, America's GDP of porn.
Six things Americans spend more on than the midterm elections.
You found clickbait instead of what I was hoping for.
Yeah.
Beer. We spent $83 billion.
Eh.
Lotto tickets, $69 billion. $11 billion on adult films. I assume that's a euphemism.
Oh yeah, that is. But
half of that, Taco Bell. Taco Bell.
Looking at Economy Watch, and it says that the U.S. has $13.33 billion.
We spend $6 billion on Taco Bell, $5 billion on potato chips. Add it together, and it equals porn.
Or at least the worth of porn. Anyway, I just want to put that in perspective, because
wow,
right? I mean, that's just the United States. If we look at like a global number, where was that page I was looking at here? Another report by the iDate digital research and consultancy firm placed the worldwide worth of the video game industry at 53.9 billion euros, or $68.2 billion, This is larger than the revenue of FIFA and the NFL combined.
Ha! Bigger than soccer!
Wow.
Yep, so we showed those jocks.
Take that! Nerds
so
win!
Obviously, yeah, video games are a big industry at this point. Lots of money going through and changing hands and so forth. And of course, like, journalism has also become pretty big, specifically like the video game journalism, pretty big. And yeah.
Well, is that the same idea, though, where it's like Bob's Video Game Reviews, made possible in part by EA?
And you're like.
And so it's like EA gives me some money to do reviews, and it just happens to be. I'm fair with pretty much everyone, but on the EA ones, I can't really be negative because they gave me money.
Well, it's a little bit tricky because here's an example from 2007. So we have a website named GameSpot. And an editor there, or a writer there, named Jeff Gerstmann. Now, GameSpot at the time had a pretty heavy advertising deal with Eidos Interactive, and they sent a review copy of a game called Kane and Lynch to the GameSpot website. Jeff Gerstmann gave it kind of a mediocre review, like a 6 out of 10 or something. He was then fired from GameSpot shortly after that review out. It's very heavily presumed that it was pressure from Eidos Interactive that got him fired because of his review, because they were advertising on the website. You know?
Yeah.
And so that's definitely a problem. Like, a lot of people are quality enough to just, like, and a lot of advertisers as well. Like, that's definitely a problem with the advertiser in that case. But the other side of that coin, the other side of that relationship is that journalists need to not be corrupted instead of being corrupted, I guess. I mean, that's the clear alternative. Those are two options.
And so, this almost sounds like political journalism to some degree.
Where
candidates running for office are buying off journalists to try to have a more favorable review, kind of get bad things buried.
How many copies of a game can sell and how much money can make them, then yeah, they're definitely going to try to, maybe not directly, but somehow indirectly, get the journalists on their side.
Yeah.
But there needs to be a more, like, professional relationship between the two. Anyway, so let me fast forward to about 10 months ago.
Okay, so this is 2007 you're talking
that
about.
That was 2007 where Mr. Gerstmann was fired for giving an honest review.
That sort of thing has happened. Every now and then, an outlet will do a negative review. Someone will do some digging and find out, oh, there is actually a relationship between this organization and this publisher, this developer, this whatever, and they'll tie it together. So every now and then, I felt like every 5 months, there would be a story come out, and they'd be like, I think this guy got fired, or this person got fired, or I think they changed this review because of this relationship. But there was nothing too bad. Like, usually it was a game that everyone else said was garbage, but this one place said was good, so everyone was just like, outlier, don't care, garbage game, not buying it.
So you were getting, like, a bad spidey sense that something was wrong, but there wasn't anything out in the open where you were like,
and that's an
outrage.
Kind of, yeah. I mean, it's just been kind of a long developing distrust of the video game journalism industry because it just seems like it was an emerging pattern of they don't care about us, the consumer. They just care about
moving copies.
So, option one. So option one is that they might just give a positive review to a mediocre game. And it's implied that there is some corruption going on there.
Like SimCity 2013.
Oh, yeah.
That was going to be...
Anyone got a positive review.
Wasn't it wonderful that EA was... Well, before the game was released, the reviews were positive. It's like, wow, this is a reboot of a fantastic franchise. Everybody should go out and buy it. I had a friend of mine who did, and he had such a bad experience with how buggy the game was. He snapped the CD in half and actually physically mailed it back to EA because, you know, it didn't bother with a refund or anything.
That was a pretty big mess on itself for the reviews and the journalistic aspect side of that specifically. Journalists were all, I believe, flown out to like an EA center where they had a local connection to a local server. Because SimCity, the one that they came out with in 2013, was online only, right? And that was another big source of controversy. Where journalists was like, no, yeah, it's fine, like, it'll connect, like, connectivity's fine. But they had all played on this, like, closed internet connection, where the connectivity was super reliable. But on launch, no one could log in for days because their servers were just so hammered.
Yeah.
Right? And so a lot of people felt upset that positive reviews were given to SimCity under this basically a faux environment, like a not operational environment. Or not a production environment, right? Like not an environment that gamers would be experiencing.
Basically, handing the beta test out and having them test on a closed system with the beta, and then selling people the beta, not on a closed system where it can be broken.
And that's a different beast on its own. But yeah,
okay, you've established that there's a long history of issues, but so far nothing that's a smoking gun, nothing that you're like, whoa.
Imagine going back that, like, if we had looked back and put a little more pressure and a little more scrutiny on these issues, then maybe it would have created the controversy that we are looking at now with the Gamergate controversy. But the one that really sparked it was an independent game, called Depression Quest, which is not
Depression Quest, like the Great Depression.
Depression, yeah, was developed by a woman named Zoe Quinn or Zoe Quinn, something like that, and she had been harassed. At this point, the harassment is alleged; like, it's not quite clear whether or not she had been harassed over her creation of this game, for whatever reason. But what is clear is that. Around the time that the game was being released, there was some positive coverage offered by Nathan Grayson, who works at Kotaku, who's a video game journalist for the site. Which is fine, they give positive coverage to games all the time. The real problem is that at the time that this positive coverage was offered, they were in a romantic relationship.
Oh.
Yeah, and so... So maybe there wasn't an exchange of a romantic relationship in exchange for like positive coverage of the game, but maybe there was, and that's the problem, that they didn't disclose that. And this was all confirmed after the fact by Kotaku's editor-in-chief. He was like, yep, they had a problem, or they had a relationship, but it's not a problem. Like, for some reason, they just didn't see it as a problem, that there might be...
And everyone's like, wait a minute. I have a problem. Yeah. You say there's no problem, but I have a problem with it. Doesn't matter if you say there isn't.
Right.
Well, particularly if was the game pretty lame? Were you just like, yes?
Yeah, it's pretty bad. It is free to play if you want to go try it. But what isn't free is Zoe Quinn's Patreon, which she advertised all over the game. So, you know, whatever.
I found the Kotaku statement where they say, in recent days, I've been asked several times about the possible breach of ethics involving one of our reporters. While I believe no such breach occurred, I feel it important to Kotaku readers who have questions to get clear answers. The allegations have been extreme. Nathan has been accused of, in some way, trading positive coverage of a developer for an opportunity to sleep with a game's developer. And failing to disclose of that, he was in a romantic relationship with the developer he had written about, that he'd given said developer game a favorable review. Anyway.
See, that's a misconstrual, because no one accused him of giving her a favorable review. He gave her positive coverage. So he didn't officially, like, write a review of the game, but there were instances where he wrote articles that offered positive coverage to the game, such as, like, oh, hey, Steam greenlit a bunch of new titles, including Depression Quest, which is, you should go play, or whatever, you know. So not an official review, but definitely still, like, positive coverage that probably should have been a little more disclosed on, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
So that's, like, smoking gun one of, like, 1,000. But that's the big spark.
And I've pulled up, actually, Nathan Grayson's actual article here, and you're right. There's nothing in here that's like, Depression Quest, the best game ever. You know, it's just kind of, he does mention it in passing enough to draw attention to it, but nothing that's... Right. So far, nothing that's upsetting me, but I'm also not a hardcore gamer.
Right, but fair enough. So positive coverage, but not a positive review. So, you know, a lot of people like to misconstrue as we're accusing them, or Gamergate is accusing them of doing a positive review, but there is no review. That's like the big spark. What really got people interested in it, though, was that someone made a video about this, and the video was posted on Reddit. I don't know if it was our games or our videos, whatever. And The video itself was reposted several times before mods finally let it stay. Like, they were taking the video down. They were just trying to suppress it.
Oh, really? So that's not good.
It was replaced several times. Eventually, they just let it stay up and get people to stop reposting it. And when it stayed up, they then began deleting all comments in the comments thread of that video. And it eventually escalated to over 25,000 comments in this thread, and almost all of them were deleted.
25,000 comments?
25,000, yep. And I think that's what really got people kind of a Streisand effect in action, if you will, if you're familiar with that. Basically just like, oh, we want to cover it up, and then people are like, well, why are you want to cover it up? What's so interesting that you have to cover it up?
And it draws attention to the thing that's trying to be buried.
Right, and so in that sense, like, if they had just let the video slide and let people talk about it and nothing, then, like, that was the thing that really got me interested in, like, what's going on, you know? Why is this something that they're trying to silence discussion about?
Or it's just, you know, oh, what's this noise over here? I think I'll pay attention to it. This is interesting.
Right. Like, if I had clicked on the link back then and they didn't have a bunch of deleted comments, then I would have been like, it was like a 25-minute video, and I would have probably watched the first minute and then I would have lost interest and moved on to something else. But the fact that they deleted the comments, that personally, me, it did pique my interest. And I was like, what is going on? Like, why do they want to discuss this? Or not discuss this, I should say. And so, yeah, people began to get up a little bit upset. That's when we see these articles from Kotaku saying, they're like, oh, yeah, well, we really don't think there's anything wrong going on here. A lot of stuff happened kind of in that window. So there was a deluge of articles a few months afterwards that were basically just saying that, like, people who were upset about this were entitled. And so there was a bunch of articles that came out that said, like, gamers are dead, and gamers don't have to be your audience.
I remember that. I remember that.
And it came from, like, 14 different journalism sites all in the same 1 or 2 day window.
So help me understand what they're saying is... gaming journalists don't need to cater to gamers. They're talking to the public at large. Is that
basically? Yeah, that's kind of the gist of it.
But the problem is, if I apply that to political journalism, I agree. Some of it should target the population as a whole. But people who go to Politico are politicos. They're the type who want to follow all the intricate details. They can name all the candidates for president, you know. Auto journalism's the same way. People just don't care beyond, like, oh, there's a new Corvette out. Oh, that's cool. But when you want to get in and talk about the suspension and the engine and the drivetrain and the crappy oil filter they put on the Corvette that makes the engines blow up, that's for stuff for auto nerds like me.
Right.
And well, so it would be stupid to say...
Auto journalists
should never target just automotive nuts. The same way it seems to me, a website like Kotaku, yeah, that just screams general consumption. Not.
Right. It's a little unclear. Well, so here's the story behind that. It turns out a few months afterwards there was a leak that indicated that all 14 of these websites... First off, for one thing, you'd think that, like, journalistic websites would be like fighting for views, right? Like, they would kind of be in a competition to see if they can become the most popular, because that's how they earn revenue, is by getting more people to click on their website, right?
Clickbait.
Sure. Yeah, and that's kind of what this was.
9 things about Grand Theft Auto you don't know.
Yeah,
there's hookers. 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 Boom.
Is that like all 14 or so of these websites that launched these articles? Turns out they were colluding to launch these articles all on the same day and try to get this message out and try to, like, this is the absolute message that people must accept, you know? And evidence of this collusion was later leaked by a writer at Breitbart. I don't know if you're familiar with them.
Breitbart, yeah, that's kind of like Drudge Report, only they actually write their own news.
I guess. I actually don't read it, and still don't, actually, but at least someone was trying to look into the issue. A British reporter named Milo Yiannopoulos, he looked into it, and it turns out, there was collusion there. And I think that's probably the bigger smoking gun that, like, really started ramping up people being kind of outraged about this. Like, why are you colluding to try to send this one message? And first off, why is the message that you don't have to appeal to your audience, right?
They'll always come back.
I guess that's what started it. And it's been going on for 10 months, and every few months there's a new development, and by that I mean every few weeks or days. There's definitely something new. The Reddit hub to discuss this is Kotaku in Action.
So is that Mike saying Kotaku and the actions that with the controversy with Mr. Grayson represent what's bad on the internet, and so it's a way of documenting bad things that happen?
Maybe. I don't know. Like, a Kotaku in Action was kind of... The name of it was kind of based on another subreddit called Tumblr in Action.
And they meaning when something that is, like, utter garbage shows up there, everyone's like, Hey, guys, look at this crap. And then everyone's like, hey, look, Kotaku's doing something stupid.
Yeah, it is much, except it's not just Kotaku.
Exactly,
it's a wide discussion at this point. Like,
yeah.
And so... That's kind of the spark. That's the story of how it all started. And it's still rolling. Kotaku in Action is still a thing, and there's definitely discussion taking place there of ethics and the wider problem of censorship. Before last week, I think they were at like 36,000 subscribers, and they had gotten that over the course of 10 months or so. Right now, let's take a look. Let me refresh the page here. Right now, they're sitting at 42,000 subscribers.
That's some good growth.
Why do they call them death eaters?
Yeah, well, that was a recent joke that like someone wrote an article. Like, here's the thing: if you're on Twitter or on a website, which by the way, everyone attempts to antagonize Gamergate. They're all evil. They all harass women. That's the biggest like red herring, I guess, in a way that like, oh, you don't really care about James or Miller. You just care about harassing women out of the industry. You don't want them here anymore.
It sounds right? an awful lot like last week where they said, oh, anybody who disagrees with the censorship of fat people hate must hate fat people. No, yeah. Some of that's us hate censorship.
Right. That's the idea. And so a lot of websites, if they want to mention Gamergate without actually saying Gamergate, they'll come up with some euphemism. The most recent example was they called them Death Eaters.
Okay.
Like from Harry Potter. And so that's anytime they attempt to malign Gamergate, Gamergate adopts it, right? They own it. They're like, oh yeah, we're Death Eaters, right? And so that's what that says is 42,552 Death Eaters.
You know, the interesting side effect that'll come from this is you have a generation of millennials, people under 30, 35 years old, all the way down to like 18 or whatever, who are going through this type of experience where they see corruption in a type of journalism, in this case, gamer journalism, sure. And recognizing that not all journalism is created equal, and you have to be very careful, and later to respect and support journalism that has good ethics, that is honest. And in the long run, that may actually, in the future, as we become consumers of hard news and political news and things that matter much more to maintaining a stable democracy, could lead to some positive changes away from the clickbait and away from the garbage as we recognize, hey, at least there's a chunk that recognize, hey, this is important. This is not something that we can just allow bad ethics to just continue.
Pretty much, yeah. It's a little bit curious to me. So, like, we talked about BuzzFeed and how they're basically, they just take this news that get people to click it, and then they kind of condense it down into its purest form of heroin, and then people inject it or whatever.
And then I have to click on it.
You have to click on it. You can't escape, you know. It's inescapable. So that they can earn ad revenue, right? Like, that's their business model, is to get people to click on it so that they can then sell those clicks for ads, and they make money. The tricky thing here is that earlier on in Gamergate, it's not so prevalent now, but earlier on in Gamergate, that was the weapon that was used against a lot of these websites. Was, for example, one guy, I don't know if it was, I don't want to name names without actually having it out on my screen, seeing who quoted it, but there was one person that was just like, you know what, like one journalist or one person that was associated with journalists that early on was like, you know what, these gamers and their outrage, like, all this is teaching us that one thing has always been true, that gamers should just be bullied into submission, right?
Fantastic.
He also tweeted, bring back bullying, right? And that was one thing.
That's not going to go over well.
Yeah, well, it didn't. Here's the problem is that I think he was working for, I don't know if he was Kotaku or Polygon, some website that was a part of Gawker Media.
Yeah.
And when he said that...
Was it Joystick?
No.
Joystick it wasn't Polygon?
It might have been Polygon.
Might have been Polygon. Okay.
Let me just Google it so I can give you a name and a site here. Bring back bullying. I've said that. Sam Biddle on Twitter. That was actually the first name I thought. But like, now, who does Sam Biddle work for here? Biddle at Gawker.com. So he does work for Gawker. So when he said this, and of course people screenshotted it, and they were like, that's pretty inappropriate to say. You don't advocate bullying, right? That's stupid and wrong and stupid. So people then got together and they were like, all right, so here's what we do. We go to Gawker's advertisers, and we tell them that they have someone that is not only actively maligning their audience, but they're also attempting to advocate bullying and so forth. And so there were these email campaigns organized where we, Gamergate, emailed advertisers of these websites. They're like, oh, by the way, you are financially supporting someone that is advocating bullying.
A good old-fashioned advertiser boycott.
And trying to drive them away. And I don't think that you want to spend advertising revenue on someone that is attempting to alienate their audience, right? And so a lot of advertisers were like, oh, yeah, you got a good point. And they pulled out. And since then, at some point, like 2 or 3 or 4 months ago, Gawker had a press conference. And among the things that they mentioned a lot of inane crap and probably tried to, you know, sell themselves as being the best or whatever. But they did mention that the advertising campaigns being pulled cost them 7 figures.
Hey, it works.
Yeah.
That gets somebody's attention finally.
Right, yeah. So, if not more at this point. So, pretty big deal. So, in that sense, the clickbait is beginning to turn against them because if they don't have advertising, then...
If they can't keep the lights on, they're not going to exist.
Easy right. come, easy go.
Pretty right? much. And here's hoping that Gawker eats it because not only did they just, you know... actively malign their audience, but there's just a website full of garbage, and all of their little sub-websites, including I think Gawker's with Polygon is their, like, a video game arm, but I don't know. Here's hoping they eat it. They're currently facing down a lawsuit with Hulk Hogan, actually.
Fantastic.
Yeah, so apparently they had hosted a leaked sex video of Hulk Hogan.
No, nobody wants to watch that.
Hold on. Yeah, you don't reason, you don't speak for everyone.
No, I think I speak for everyone on that. Nobody wants to watch that.
Nobody wants to watch it. Whatever. So at some point, Hulk Hogan filed a lawsuit or something, and a judge was like, take the video down. And then Gawker turned around and said no. And they actually wrote an article that was just like, a judge ordered us to take down the video. Here's why we won't. And then they just kept it up. And... yeah, so
fantastic.
That lawsuit's ongoing, and that won't end well.
A simple amount of evidence that says that, like, yeah, I don't know, whatever the case. Gamergate, as much as we've costed them, Gamergate is secretly hoping that the Hulk Hogan lawsuit is the nail in the coffin for them, and it just terminates them for good.
Everybody
would miss them. Gawker is free to go. They're just a little cancer.
And in the process, teaches every other gaming journalist site and clickbait site, hey, be careful. There are lines you can cross right. where it all comes down.
And that line is the Hulk Hogan sex tape line.
Yeah.
Don't cross it.
One would hope that they would, you know, be destroyed from their stupid the hatred of their audience, but no, it's the Hulk Hogan sex tape that'll probably do them in.
Hey, nice to know that they found a shelf one below TMZ. All right, when we come back, there are all kinds of conferences. There's the E3 conference, the Google Worldwide Developer Conference, and the Apple one. But there's the forgotten announcement that got buried that's really sloppy that has to do with... a new product Apple is coming out that's a lot like a lot of old products. We'll tell you about that coming up next year on Radio Citrus.
The podcast that Alan Powell would ban.
Make them fear for their safety or the safety of those around them is something that we encourage.
Radio Citrus.
Get ready for the new
Barbasol Shave Cream
Frappe from McCafe with a decadent blend of mocha and
rich Barbasol.
Like that.
And
Barbasol Glide Stick Deodorant.
Blended right in, giving you bits of
Barbasol
in every sip.
Really like that.
All topped with
great toiletries
and a double drizzle of chocolate and caramel.
Love that.
The new
Barbasol Shave Cream
Frappe from McCafe. Here for just a limited time. The simple joy of the perfect sip. At participating McDonald's for a limited time.
Can you guys keep a secret?
Radio Citrus on Q959 FM.
Okay, here's the secret.
We're back.
Dude, you see my masterpiece coming together, right?
Maybe it might never happen again.
This is Zane Lowell, Beats One.
We got the whole world locked in for this one. Brand new Pharrell.
I get it. People are listening to the same song everywhere, including this kid who's about to get bullied on a bus. Now there's a lady sitting on a train. She's listening to it. She's flirting with a 13-year-old kid.
I see how she likes
it. Now there's people and partying. Oh, now there's a girl with a nose ring crying. More people on the subway all dancing together, because that's not weird. A guy wearing an Apple shirt in the Amazon. Yes. So, behind this video, Apple is trying something new. Apple Music.
Yeah, but how new is it?
Oh, no, because nobody's ever had that idea before of a subscription-based music service. That's never been tried, has it?
Serious. XM.
No, I'm thinking more like, to begin with, Spotify.
Oh, yeah, Pandora.
Google Music. Well, Pandora, but I'm talking where you have your curated playlists you can put together, you know, your Spotify's and...
Sure, yeah.
I mean, Pandora as well, but what's interesting with this... Well, first of all, before we even get to this thing, this everybody listening to the same station at the same time, that's another topic in a moment. They had the worst launch in the world for this thing. I mean, it was just sloppy. You know how Google's really... Or, Apple's really polished, where they'll get in and they'll tell you like where
they'll have an event, they'll have a date, they'll have, you know,
yeah,
they'll have promotions, like, you know when something's coming out.
Yeah, it's just somebody rambling. I mean, it was very unfocused, and I wasn't really that impressed with it. But then they had promotional stuff where they said, "But music needed a home, so we built one."
Power in our lives. The way we listen to and experience music is undergoing a profound change these days.
I know. Instead of going to the radio where you have DJs and stuff, you curate a playlist, and then it's on all your devices, and you pay $10 a month for it. And you've got all kinds of choices of who you want to pay to have basically the same experience, right?
With a sense of respect.
Or you just steal it from the internet and do whatever you want.
Yeah, or just put the uTorrent app on your phone, and there you go!
Boom!
Provide them all with a home and a way to engage with their audiences, that would be pretty great.
See, it's really slick.
And that's what we set out to do with Apple Music.
So they have all this stuff that they're really excited about that looks exactly the same. I mean, they're not offering anything new.
I mean, stream from the millions of songs on iTunes.
You can do that on Spotify.
See, and here's the problem. The music that I look for doesn't ever end up on iTunes. It's I look for really vague, really stuff that isn't popular, and so like that offers nothing to me. Like if it was, hey, we're gonna go find music in a genre, and you can just sort of say like, hey, you like this one weird genre? Cool, we are going to go all over the place, find cool stuff, and put it right here. This bothers me.
No,
so
they're
much.
Gonna help you find the new Pharrell Williams track because that's what people want. Or the new Katy Perry track, but not the new Taylor Swift song, because she doesn't want it on, you know, she wants you to buy the CD.
Or maybe she realizes all of this digital stuff is BS, and people who like Taylor Swift will go and get Taylor Swift. She doesn't need to put it through anyone else.
It works for her great. I think it's a little snobby. But
a little snobby.
There was one song
of
hers I liked, but I found they have a cover version of it that some studio did that I have no clue who she is, but she sounds fine. Here's the weird thing they're introducing, though. Totally crazy. Only Apple could come up with something this innovative and neat.
And broadcasting every day is Apple's first 24/7 worldwide radio station. Live in over 100 countries, Beats One is anchored by Zane Lowe in LA.
Beats One worldwide, always on.
Ebro Darden in New York.
New York City worldwide, this is Beats One.
And me, Julie Adenuga, out of London.
I cannot wait to play you guys some music we've got lined up. Some world exclusive.
And at the heart. So they have a 24/7 live radio station where you don't get to pick the songs. It's interrupted or punctuated, at least, by DJs. And it's on 24 hours a day.
It has
crazy.
Everything I hate in it.
Is
it?
I mean, that's just wild. Nobody's ever done that before. Ever. And they call it Beats One.
More like...
Why does that sound familiar?
Oh, man.
Because of what? BBC Radio 1?
Oh, BBC Radio 1. Also, you know, Beats by Dre. $200 garbage headphones.
Put it
Bam!
Together. What have you got? BBC... Or not BBC Radio 1. Beats 1. Whatever.
Beats 1 garbage radio.
Yeah. So anyway, that's the kind of new, exciting innovation.
Saturday and Sunday, you'll get them all.
Oh, what's that?
Okay, listen, Petite Mella on the way. After this from Ed Sheeran, this is Photograph.
Hey, somebody stole Apple's idea.
Oh.
That's a DJ talking a song on BBC Radio 1.
Steve Jobs is going to come out of his grave and kill someone.
He's going to mess him up.
He's going to give them pancreatic cancer and kill him.
Too soon.
Is it?
No.
Is it?
The,
no, it's not too soon.
The thing with Apple that I worry about is when you have a company that's sitting on some unearthly amount of money, 100 and something billion dollars, they venture into things because they can without really stopping to ask if they should. It's like they're talking about wanting to get into the autonomous car game like Google is, you know, which we don't know if that's going to even go anywhere. You know what I mean? Why don't they just focus on more important stuff like getting battery life better?
Or phone screens that don't shatter. Where has that been?
I don't know. That happened to you on your iPhone, didn't you?
It did.
Yeah.
No, don't worry. I switched to Samsung, so it's all better.
And now. Samsungs don't shatter either.
Well, this, here's the thing. Here's the thing. Samsungs are so janky and weird that, like, I don't know, like, if I were to crack the screen on this, I'd be like, eh, makes sense. But when it happened on my Apple device, I was like,
no.
Oh, seriously? Well, I'll just throw it away. But I'm excited when I get to throw it away.
Yeah. Yeah, because it's, and so it's like if Apple could just focus on their core products, iPods, iPads, and Apple TV, make that thing where I actually want to go buy it.
Right.
But no, they got to get into the business of, hey, if you pay us, I don't know, $9.99 a month or whatever they're charging, you can listen to a live 24/7 station. I mean, I get it. It's cool. I mean, if it caught on where everybody around the world tunes into this thing and it's kind of like, hey, this is neat. No matter what time of day, there's a live DJ and there's people listening. Because people, you know, unlike a regular local radio station, this is around the world. And it has the backing of Apple where they can actually hire some good DJs and stuff. But I just think music is too segmented now. I just don't think people are going to go for it. So, anyway.
So, another question. How are they distributing it? Like, is it...
Over the internet. It's a stream.
Yeah, that, so
through the Apple Music app.
Yeah, so get this. One of my favorite things about...
Which, by the way, I interrupt you. They're listening to this on the subway. If you go back and watch that demo video, they're riding on a subway car dancing. And have you ever tried to make a cell phone call in the subway?
It doesn't work.
Yeah, how good is your LTE down there?
Anyway. Sorry, do you mean my Edge network? Oh, yes, my Edge network. It's bad.
No, my Sprint Spark.
Mm.
No, but anyway, just a point.
Oh, no, so what I was trying to say, so one of my favorite things about the iPod, okay, one of the innovative things about it is I have, you know, 10 hours of battery life. Okay, let's just toss that number out there. And I can load in 10 hours of music or of audio content, we'll say, not even necessarily music. I can then go camping. I can go out into places where there is no power, where there is no internet, and I can still listen to that content. Should I?
And by Thursday, when you've been out there for 4 days, you still have music.
I still have music. See, that's when I need music. Like, when I am sitting in my house, when I have my TV, when I have my computer, when I have errands to run and I have all that stuff, I don't need radio content or I don't need audio content like that. When I'm out in the middle of nowhere, that's when I need it. But there's no signal out in the middle of nowhere. This is a service created by people who live in a highly metropolitan area that don't understand what it's like to be around zero signal.
So you're saying the guy in the video wearing the Think Different Apple t-shirt on the Amazon River is not listening to Beats 1 on his cell phone?
Maybe he doesn't do that at all. Maybe he has no idea what he's talking about. That's just my first thought. But it's just like... it's one of those things that just, it irritates me about California so much, is that in California, you can kind of go hours in any direction and you'll still have cell signal. Whereas here, I can drive about 15 minutes and I can hit a null zone. That will never not be a null zone.
All because a mountain got in the way.
A mountain got in the way, but that's just it. Like, that's when I would... So think about it. I have that on there. Man, I'm listening to this garbage content. Isn't this nice? Isn't this great? I love it. Oh, it's gone now. Just silence.
Kiss FM, where did you go? No, the... anyway, all I'll say is I'm the last person to judge this service because back when the iPad first came out, I said, what? You can't make a phone call on it. It's just a big fat iPhone. Forget it. Nobody's ever buying one of those. And that's a multi-billion dollar mistake I made because tablets have become a financial goldmine, a fantastic potential market for so many companies, Samsung and little tiny companies you'd never heard of like Brightstar, you know. And so for me to just immediately jump in and say this Beats Music One thing is a total flop. Man, it could be wrong.
I mean,
could be the next big thing.
Here's the thing. They made iPads fun. That's why iPads worked. That's why tablets worked. They made them fun, and then they started to become useful.
You're saying a hot-headed DJ out of London. What's more fun than that?
Oh well, I don't know. A whole lot of ketamine.
I don't know. All right. Well, we're hitting our 1 hour mark here, so I think we'll wrap this up. But maybe coming up next time, talk about the Worldwide Developer Conference, EA. Maybe even just talk about games or something. We'll see what's going on next time we get around to taping. But anyway, thank you both.
No problem.
yeah, you know.
This is Radio Citrus on Q959 FM.
What's up?
Radio Citrus, copy wrong, 2015, on no rights reserved. Figure if we steal from others, you should be able to steal from us. Hit up the show at 323-920-9590. We have aired every single call in 21, 22 podcasts, whatever it's been. We haven't missed a single one. Your call could be next at 323-920-9590. Thanks for listening.